We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic. What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. Today is April 11th, 2022. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, the season is over. We made it.
It's over. It's over. I was just telling you before we were recording, like, we were just kind of, doing your last minute prep here, and I was like, man, I can't believe it's finally come to an end. It felt so long and so short at the same time to me that it was just like, I don't know. Some set parts of the season felt, faster than others. Some drug by, like, since All-Star break, it has been dragging by. Thankfully, Markelle Fultz came back and was able to kind of, help us out there, make it a little more enjoyable. The other thing, Jonathan, how I'm feeling. I announced officially yesterday that a few different things. I announced that we are pregnant with our second, which I had not said on the show, but that is a huge reason why we are moving back to Florida. Baby will be due in October, round time of like opening night type thing probably. So that'll make for a hectic beginning of the year for the Magic and for recording and all that. And landed a job. A work from home job that I can do, and it'll make the transition a lot easier. Just a really good situation for me. Love the company I'm going to work for. And so it's a celebratory time. Season's over and all that stuff is happening. We're moving to Florida here in the next few months as well.
Let's go. Kevin, Kevin mentioned that there's a chance that we might all be attending the home opener together this coming season, which would be awesome.
A chance.
Luke and I we've only got to hang out like a couple hours in person in real life. And obviously,
over some great food. So,
oh yeah, of course. I mean, shout out Latinos
baby,
all day. Mm-hmm. Ocala, what's up? What's popping? And then, Kevin is, just a crazy person who makes the drive from Savannah, Georgia to Orlando like every 2 weeks, it seems like. So, lots of stuff to look forward to. Yeah, man, it was a long season. Like last season, it wasn't so bad because it was just like after the trade deadline, things got really bad. But this whole season was bad.
Well, and last year was different because after the trade deadline, there were still new faces to get excited about, right? I remember I was just sitting in front of the TV, in front of my stream, whatever it was, seeing, RJ Hampton surpass his career high in points and just getting like excited for him and for the future. So there was a lot of different like storylines last year. Obviously, this year, like I said, Markelle Fultz kind of took us to the finish line, but.
Yeah. Well, first thing that I want to say is it's been a long season. Like Luke said, the last, 6 months roughly, it feels like just yesterday we were, at the home opener to watch the Magic take on the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And like you have so much excitement and hope for the beginning of the season. And, you want to see these promising young players. And then especially through November, December, as the losses really start to rack up and they're like, okay, let's just get to the All-Star break. Then you get through the All-Star break and it really becomes apparent that the full tank is on. And they're like, mm-hmm. man, we just got to get to the end of this season. But we've been doing this now. It's been 3 years, since started the podcast, and, 2 years with Luke now, almost coming up on a year with Kevin. We added, Ben to the team as the event coordinator, last summer. We've added, Tim Jones and Ryan Brock as writers this year. And just the way that the show has grown, the social media accounts, like the YouTube channel, all the engagement and stuff like that. It's just like, I don't know about you, Luke, but like the last year for the podcast, I know, me and you and then Kevin came on, but it's just like things have ramped up a little bit, and I'm super excited for the future. Super appreciative for the whole team here at the Six Man Show. Super, super appreciative and grateful to, all of you that listen and engage with us on social media, because without them, I mean, we're just two, relatively handsome, very good looking guys talking into microphones.
That's true. Yeah. I wanted to add, talking about social media growing and everything like that. When I joined the show 2 years ago, like you said, I remember distinctly noting how many followers we had on Twitter at the time. At the time, we were at like 1,200, 1,300 followers, I believe. Now, looking at it, being 60 followers away from 4,000, insane, dude. Yeah. Like, you think of it, it's not your typical like Twitter following. A good bit of the people who follow us on Twitter are people that we interact with every day, but also people that listen to the show. So I think that's a good also kind of a meter for engage for the growth that's happened in the last couple of years for the show, man. It's been insane to see, and it's insane that I've been doing this and known you for 2 years at this point, going from not knowing you at all to we talk every day. Yep. So it's
for better or worse. For better or worse,
you know. There's days I just can't stand them, But there's other days
where I'm like, all right, Luke, pockets. Come on. You're saying something pretty wild right now, but
yeah. I get bored. But yeah, man, it's been awesome. This has been a really, really fun time here. So growing the show, and next year, only as the team gets better, man. We're going to have a larger Magic community. We're going to have more people engage with the show. More people want to listen. It's hard when the team sucks like they do. So yeah. If you guys have rocked with us this year, it is no easy task to want to listen to Magic content when the team is like it is. But we sincerely appreciate you guys.
If you're been rocking with us all year, you watch the majority of the games this season, and you're looking forward to the lottery and the draft and, off-season content from us, I want you to do one thing. I want you to put your right hand out. I want you to put your left hand right underneath your elbow. I want you to bring your hand up about 90 degrees. Take that left hand, push that elbow back. Give yourself a nice pat on the back because you deserved it. We all deserve it. Good. It's been a long season. But, yeah, super appreciative to you guys. And there's another group that we are super appreciative, Luke, and that is our patrons. So our patrons that help financially support the show and help us do what we absolutely love. If you are interested in financially supporting the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We have three tiers of benefits that you can select from. Actually, as a special thank you to every single one of our patrons, this Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, we are having like an end of the season Patreon thank you Zoom call. We're just going to hang out with all the patrons, talk about the season, kick back, relax, and just
have the whole six-man team there if possible.
If possible, we're trying to get everybody there, our writers, Ben, our event coordinator, Luke, Kevin, everybody. So make sure you come hang out. If you join before Thursday, you guys will have access to that. And we do have two new patrons this week, Luke, that hopefully will be joining us on Thursday. We want to shout them out specifically, Jamel Miller and Michael Salapong, our two new patrons. Thank you guys so much for obviously rocking with the podcast, but helping support the show. It really means the world to us. If you want a special shout out just like that, we do that for all of our new patrons each episode, and we shout out every single patron. Luke, last week I said I'm going to try to do this in one breath. So we're going to try to do this in one breath. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I have the lung capacity, but I'm going to try. So, all right, hold on. I did that too early. I need to say thank you too, and I need to take another deep breath. Ready?
Okay. Yeah, you got it.
Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Norm L, Magic Player History, Julio Bailey, Matt Lyman, Eric Segovia, Gabe Gaines, Bo Outlaw Fan, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong. That's right, uh-huh. Baby. That was one shot. One shot.
That's good. You got some pipes on you.
Yeah, I kind of ran through those pretty quickly. So, you know, if you need to slow this down to like 0.5 speed to hear all of those, then by all means, go ahead and do that. But thank you to our patrons. Thank you to supporters, everybody listening to the show for, you know, the last 3 years, 2 years, this season, whatever it is, 5 seconds. We love you guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Luke, let's break down the weekly state of the Magic. Actually, before I do that, I have scatterbrain right now. May 17th, the night of the draft lottery, it is confirmed. We are going to be at Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando. It's about a block, you know, walking distance from Amway Center. We are going to be there for our annual draft lottery watch party. Hopefully we don't have to do this again next year, but if we do, we'll be there. But Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando, we don't have a time yet. We don't know exactly what time the draft lottery is starting. Last year we were there at 7:30, and the draft lottery started at 8:30. So my guess would be sometime around there, you know, between 7, 8 o'clock, plan on being there. And then we'll be having a grand old time as the Magic win a top pick in the draft. We are going to speak that and manifest that into existence. But guys, last year it was a much bigger turnout than we expected, but we are expecting an even bigger turnout this year. Trust me, if you are a Magic fan that is invested in this team at all, you are invested and interested about the future of this team, you want to be around other Magic fans, there is not a place on earth that you would rather be than Harry Buffalo the night of May 17th. It's a Tuesday. Mark your calendars. Come out. We will be there. It's going to be a great time. Now let's get to the weekly state of the Magic. Your Orlando Magic went 2-1 this week. It was a winning week, Luke, with a 120-115 win at home on Tuesday over the Cavaliers, a 128-101 road loss to the Hornets on Thursday, and then a season-ending 125-111 win at home over the Heat on Sunday night. The Magic end the season with a record of 22 wins, 60 losses, which is the worst record in the Eastern Conference and the second worst record in the NBA. The Magic coming into Sunday were 30th in offensive rating on the season, 19th in defensive rating, 28th in overall net rating. Since January 1st, the Magic are 10th in defensive rating, 46 games since January 1st. The Magic are a top 10 defense. We can talk more about what that means in a little bit here. The final injury report of the season, Jonathan Isaac still out due to the left ACL and now right hamstring injury. Bol Bol is still out with a foot injury. Wendell Carter was out with a wrist sprain. Jalen Suggs was out with an ankle sprain and bone bruise. Cole Anthony was out with a toe sprain. Franz Wagner was out with left and right ankle sprains to end the season.
A lot of sprains.
Some questionable injuries there. But in other Magic news, Luke, the Magic signed guard Devin Kennedy to a multi-year deal. I tried to look up the details. I don't see anything on SpotTrack tonight. My guess is it's going to be up tomorrow. We'll start to see some of those details. Partially guaranteed contract, so my guess would be it's, you know, structured similar to the Mo Wagner deal, where the first year was guaranteed, and then the Magic will have there's a deadline. I think it's somewhere in June or July where the Magic can decide whether or not they want to guarantee Mo Wagner's contract for next season. My expectation would be that they would. But Devin Kennedy, long road back from the ankle dislocation that he suffered towards the end of the last season for the Magic. Spent the whole year kind of rehabbing, played really well in the G League, got a 10-day contract with the Magic, and now has earned a multi-year NBA contract with the Orlando Magic. So congrats to Devin Kennedy. Hopefully he's going to be a guy able to provide some shooting off of the bench if need be next season. Luke, any thoughts on the Devin Kennedy signing?
No. He's made his way back, had that injury, and has made sure that he's been very engaging with the Magic community, made sure he stays on the forefront of their minds and everybody that follows him. And the front office heard the fans. A lot of the fans love Devin Kennedy, and he's coming back as a result. So
congrats to Devin Kennedy. Good to have you, man. Okay, Luke, let's move on to the Tankathon. So, Luke, I do a Tankathon every day on Twitter, and I post my results there. And the last I checked, it was like 14 simulations that I had done. 7 of those, we ended up in the top 4. 6 of those, we did not. So right now, and it's really going to, the season's going to end this way. Houston finishes the season 20-62, the worst record in the league. Orlando 22-60. Detroit 23-59. And then Oklahoma City 24-57. 24-57. They haven't finished their season here. Indiana finished 25-57. So Luke, if we pull up the NBA scores real quick, Oklahoma City should be playing.
Yeah,
oh, they're down basically 20 at the end of the first quarter of the Clippers.
Typical.
Yeah. So the Oklahoma City will finish probably 24-58 there. So Houston, Orlando, Detroit, Oklahoma City. That is going to be your top 4 in terms of lottery odds there. Houston number 1, Orlando number 2. Each of the top 3 teams, Houston, Orlando, Detroit, for the second season in a row, funny enough, they have a 52.1% chance of ending up in the top 4 and a 14% chance of ending up with the number 1 overall pick. Today was the first lottery that I've done for, I think in general this season, where the Magic actually ended up with the number 1 overall pick. So if you guys go to tankathon.com, you can simulate the 2022 NBA draft lottery. We do it each episode on the show here. We run it once, and then we share our results. Those are the rules. You run it once, you share your results. Luke, here we go. We're going to sim the lottery. And the Magic end up with the 5th pick overall. Incredible. OKC, Portland, Houston, Lakers, which goes to New Orleans. And the Magic end up with the 5th pick.
Well, here's my piece, Jonathan, regarding the lottery, right? We're going to have a lot of time to talk about this lottery. But the one thing I want to establish, those top three, those teams with the three worst record, with the worst records in the league, those top three, Houston, Orlando, Detroit, have the same percentage chance to land the 1, 2, 3, and 4 pick, right? They each have, 14, 13.4%, 12.7%, 12% flat. Then there's a difference, right? The Rockets can't fall any lower than 5th, since they have the worst record, they'll finish with the worst record in the NBA. They have a 47.9% chance to get that 5th pick. The Magic have a 27.8% chance for that 5th pick and a 20% chance for that 6th pick, because that's the lowest they can go. Detroit can fall to 7, and there's a 7% chance that will happen. So the fact that Magic got the 5th pick in this simulation, Jonathan, not surprising, considering that is the greatest chance, 27.8% for the Magic, and that's why it's not that surprising that the Magic would get 5th in the lottery. Wouldn't be surprising if they got 5th this year.
Well, the thing that I'll say about the when you look at that, you're like, oh my gosh, we have the best odds of any pick to end up 5th. But you still have a much greater chance of ending up in the top 4 than you do receiving
the 5th pick. Right, it's just individual picks.
But when you look at it, you're like, well, damn, that sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why it's a lottery. So
well, fingers crossed, folks. Come out May 17th and we can all sing Kumbaya and cry together.
We need to find the person who gets the most returnings on their lottery tickets and they go to the gas stations.
Yeah.
And we need to have them just, be wholly devoted to the Magic leading up to the draft.
Everybody knows, like, that one person in their life that just is, like, super lucky. Whether it's, like, man, that dude is hideous, and he's got a smoke show for his wife, or man, that guy's got the best job, and he's an idiot, or you know that person, you know they've hit the lottery two or three times by now, you know they keep winning the pick three.
Right.
That night, May 17th, you find the luckiest person that you know in your life, whether you like them or not, and you bring them with you.
I need to fly Lauren to the lottery because Lauren wins. So
I thought you
things.
Were going to say Lauren ended up with you, and I was going to have to end
Lauren
the show.
Also got me. So she won the lottery of life, but she's giving me a look right now from the kitchen, actually.
Oh, man. Poor Lauren.
No, but really, I mean, she won like this $500, I think, like shopping spree to Altered State at one point. She won a $500 Amazon gift card not too long ago. Like she wins more than the average person. She wins way more than I do when it comes to things that require luck. I got none of it. She's got all of it. I'm flying her to Orlando, the Harry Buffalo, for the watch party.
Fly yourself while you're at it. That'd be great. That'd be absolutely fantastic.
Maybe.
Bring little Harper, you know, baby Sylvia, you know, the whole crew.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's talk Thursday against the Hornets. I mean, these last couple of games here, pretty much pointless for the Magic, but they happened, so we're going to talk about them. So the Hornets actually, they come into the last few games here, Luke, you know, needing a few wins, you know, in terms of the play-in tournament. You know, you've got Brooklyn, Cleveland, Atlanta, Charlotte all sitting there kind of fighting, you know, to, I mean, none of them were probably realistically going to get out of the play-in, but they're trying their best to make sure that, you know, they end up as high as they can, you know, if they want to host one
get
of these play-in
court.
Games, or if you want to, you know, play in the 7-8 game versus the 9-10 games, and you just got to win one game instead of two. So the Hornets come in desperately needing to win this game, Luke, and they blew the doors off of the Magic. So they ended up winning this game 128-101. What I want to fast forward to, because it was, in my opinion, the most entertaining part of the entire game. So the Magic are down 25 in the fourth quarter. I think there was roughly 7 minutes to go. RJ Hampton is driving to the rim, gets fouled by Jalen McDaniels. You know, RJ Hampton, you know, doesn't like the foul, takes a little bit of offense, kind of walks up to Jalen McDaniels. P.J. Washington comes in. He doesn't like what's going on. He tries to break it up. Robin Lopez sees what P.J. Washington is doing. He doesn't like it. He comes in to break it up.
Mm-hmm.
Montrezl Harrell sees what Robin Lopez is doing. He doesn't like what he's doing. He comes in, starts shoving everybody. Then Admiral Schofield is like, hey, wait a minute. That's my guy. Don't touch him.
All of you.
I'm going to come in. Oh, yeah, dude. Schofield is yacked. Comes in, starts shoving everybody. All of a sudden, everybody's pushing and shoving. The refs get in there. They kind of break everything up. When everything is calmed down, okay, Montrezl Harrell gets ejected for being an escalator, they said. Robin Lopez is also ejected. He's an escalator. And then Admiral Schofield is ejected because, I can attest, was an escalator. Got thrown out of the game. So the next day, the NBA fines Robin Lopez $15,000. Robin Lopez has had a long NBA career, $15,000. I mean, sure, it hurts a little bit, but you know he's doing just fine. Admiral Schofield is on a two-way contract, and I had to look into this. Okay, guy got fined $20,000. Definitely going to hurt the pocket for him on the season. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about two-way contracts. You know how they're structured, how much these guys are getting paid, and this is what I found. So two-way players receive half of the league's minimum. Right now, Luke, the NBA minimum is approximately $925,000. So if you play the whole year, you get half of that, which is, you know, roughly, you know, $475,000,
right,
somewhere around there, right? Now, Schofield signed January 6th, which was roughly half of the season. So I'm guessing, I couldn't find any kind of confirmation for this anywhere, but my thought would be two-way, you play half the season, you receive half of the two-way. So roughly $230,000. So if that is true, first of all, not bad for, what, 4 months worth of work on Admiral Schofield's behalf. But if that's accurate, he got fined almost 10% of his salary for the season shoving Montrezl Harrell around.
Yeah. And also I want to add, he probably got a little more just because, so that I think that's the base. And from what I remember being with Lakeland and the G League a few years back, what I remember is that as a two-way player, you've got 45 days in the NBA, right? Like, you can practice with the team. That's one day, right? You're traveling. You're playing on the team, playing in a game. Like, those count as days. You get 45 days. And at the time, few years ago, I believe it was about, I think it was like $4,000 a day or something like that for every, something like that. But I don't know if the structure has changed or if you know.
It's different this season because of COVID. They went into the
restructured.
Season. I believe there was not a limit placed on how many days they could be with the
team.
Oh,
because of COVID hardship
and,
deals
exactly,
and all that stuff,
exactly.
Too.
So I believe it is
that
different
would make
this
sense.
Year. Now, what this is purely speculation, like my, you know, the 20 minutes I spend of internet research trying to figure this out. So I could be wrong, but like just the thought of poor Admiral Schofield losing 10% of his yearly salary.
I hope someone pays
in
that for
one
him.
Game. Somebody's got to pay the fine.
RJ Hampton should pay it for him.
RJ Hampton, you know, Cole Anthony, maybe Markel, you know, one of the highest paid guys on the team.
No, I want RJ to do it because it all was around. RJ was talking all game. So
yeah,
RJ should pay it.
Yeah. All right, Luke. Let's actually look at the box score. So Chuma Okeke leads all scores for the Orlando Magic, which I am holding firm to the fact that you have not officially apologized to Chuma Okeke, by the way. And I feel like he's redeemed himself this season. I feel like he had a rough start, but redeemed himself. If Gary Harris got an apology from you, he didn't have quite the turnaround that Gary did, but Chuma, you know, just kind of right below there. But anyways, Moritz Wagner, a guy that we've seen a lot of, you know, this season, but definitely more the last few weeks, finishes this game with 17 points for the Magic. The problem was LaMelo Ball, 26 points for the Hornets, Terry Rozier, 22 points for the Hornets, and Montrezl Harrell, 14 points off the bench. Kelly Oubre, 16 points off the bench for the Hornets. They shoot 52% from the floor in this game, Magic 40%. They out-rebound the Orlando Magic by 13. Magic with 16 turnovers in this game. Just not what you want, obviously, out of a team that's struggling, but the Hornets, really, this was a must-win game for them. And they went out and they won the game, Luke.
Yeah, not much to add to that, Jonathan. This game, I think we both said that, you know, we would lose this game. I said that the doors would get blown off and against Charlotte, and that's exactly what happened. Can't say I'm surprised. LaMelo Ball always seems to also get a highlight on the fast break against us. Did the old Jamal Crawford assist in that game. So he always does something. He loves playing the Magic, evidently. Is what, you know, it was what it was. It's whatever. I really don't have anything to add to this. It was just a really ugly, undesirable game.
Now, I have a few friends who, you know, obviously they know I'm a big Magic fan, and they're like, I wouldn't even call them casual NBA fans. Like, they just kind of, something comes up on their Instagram reel, you know, they might see something like that. It's like once a week in our group chat that somebody is sending a LaMelo Ball highlight, because the kid is just so much freaking fun to watch. And you know, it's not great to see him, you know, between the legs alley-oop on your team, but you're like, you know what, that's kind of cool. I just would have appreciated you do that like any other night.
Right.
But yeah, LaMelo, tons of fun. Okay, the final game of the season, Sunday versus the Miami Heat. Again, 7 o'clock start, not happy about that. It really stopped me from being able to be at this game. But again, last game of the season for the Magic and the Miami Heat, really Sunday, everybody's last game, all 30 teams played. Going into the last game, you're hoping for a win over the Heat. Game really didn't mean anything to either team. The Magic could not, you know, fall any lower than 2. They, you know, couldn't get any higher than that either. And the Heat locked up the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Although they are going to, you know, lose in the playoffs, I don't think they'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And we just hate the Heat. So I don't care if, you know, whatever, screw them. But, Victor Oladipo drops a 40 ball on the last game of the season against the Magic, you know, his former team. Good for him.
Needs it. He needed that.
Hey, whatever. Magic win 125-111. That's the story of the night here. The Magic 23 threes ties the franchise record set back on January 14th, 2009 versus the Kings in Sacramento. Selfishly, this is not the team that I wanted to see to break that record set by a team that went to the NBA Finals. Now they tie the record. They didn't break it. You and Kevin were kind of like, you know, it's kind of fun, but the record lives another day, and next year will probably be when we see that record finally fall, and hopefully that's a team that we're talking about potentially for the playoffs,
so,
for the play-in game.
I have a question, Jonathan.
Oh, boy. I can only imagine.
No. So So the Magic tie, right?
Yeah.
That record. Moving on is the terminology used that the Magic have a franchise record of 23 three-pointers set in 2009, or do they forever until it's broken, do they mention both of these years, both of these games when referring to it?
No. You, because they, it would behoove them to just say set in 2009. Because you're going to look at, oh, set in 2022. Let me go look at that team. My gosh, that team sucked. You know, like, just leave it as the 2009 record. I'm totally fine with that.
Okay. I was just wondering
how
that clarification works. But, yeah, it is what it is. But this game was a lot of fun, Jonathan.
This game
was a good time for, like, the hand that we were dealt. Sucks to see a former Magic legend come in and have a good game and Michael Mulder. And then Victor Oladipo, he was all right. he dropped 40.
Oh, man. So, can we have the Victor Oladipo conversation for like 3 minutes here?
What do you want to talk about?
Just every time Victor Oladipo plays against the Magic and plays well, we have these people still, like, even to this day, still boohooing. I cannot believe that we traded Victor Oladipo, blah, blah, blah. Victor Oladipo was never going to become, first of all, I don't think it's safe to say that he is the player that he was in Indiana when he was making all-star games. Still a good player. No. But he was never going to become that player here in Orlando. He went to Oklahoma City, saw Russell Westbrook. I think that was his MVP season. I could be mistaken. But saw what it took to be a superstar player night in and night out. Took that with him to Indiana. Completely transformed his body that season that he was traded to Indiana. And then has, you know, what was it, two or three all-star seasons in Indiana. He was not going to become that player here. With that being said, hindsight is 20/20. The Sabonis-Oladipo trade for Ibaka was terrible. Rob Hennigan was just trying to save his job. And probably picking Victor Oladipo over Evan Fournier would have been the right move. The Magic kind of went the other way with that. Chose to pay Evan Fournier. Traded away Victor Oladipo. Maybe you don't get the Ibaka deal done without including Victor Oladipo. I don't know. But Oladipo, guys, he was not going to become this here.
And what I'll add to that, Jonathan, is also the fact that who knows, like, if he ends up playing in Orlando, you get into the situation of, well, maybe he just never gets injured and da 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 da. He, since 2018-19, he played 36 games that year, was an all-star that year. Since 2018-2019, since that year when he got injured, he has played 95 total games. I know we are Magic fans, and we don't have a lot of room to talk about guys that haven't played much recently.
Not at all.
But 95 games since 2018, he was never going to be that guy that you might have thought that he could have been when he was an all-star in Indiana. Unfortunately, injuries really did derail him, and he's still trying to get it figured out. I mean, in Houston, he plays 20 games. He averages 21 a game. Good for him, but, I mean, it's small sample size, right? So... yeah, as far as Oladipo goes, man, I think people need to let it go. They need to let it go. He's not the player he was tonight. That's not him every night anymore. That's not him at all.
Yeah. Best of luck, VO. But I'm not even going to pretend to be as ignorant to believe that this conversation is over. Every single time he has a good game, every single time he plays well against the Magic, this is just going to continue to be rehashed.
Yep.
Okay, Luke, so this is the point of the show where we're going to recap the season. We're not going to go into crazy detail. We're going to do, you know, player grades and, you know, coaching grades and GM grades and all that kind of stuff in future episodes, folks. This is the point where the show is really going to slow down. It's the off season. Bear with us. It's just kind of the nature of the business. But I do want to break down the season, Luke. And I've broken this up kind of into four quarters. Now, 82 games, you can't really split that into quarters evenly. So what I've done is quarter one is the first 20 games. Quarter two is the next 21 games. Quarter three is the next 20 games. Quarter four is the last 21 games.
Okay.
So I've got our record. We've got things like offensive rating, defensive rating. I've got some, you know, some highlights. Some lowlights, kind of like the best player of each of the quarters of the season. And then we'll just kind of have a more general discussion about the season as a whole.
Do you have records?
I do have records.
Great.
I do have records. So quarter one, so the first 20 games, the Magic went 4-16. Now we're getting kind of the fun part. We're going to talk about some of the fun wins of the season. First win over the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. Bing bong. Very, very Bing fun bong. One. It was fun going through this and just kind of reliving some of those moments from this season. The second one, the win in Minnesota. Bronze, 28 points. Kevin and I recorded an emergency podcast right after this game. Franz Wagner, 28 points, 10 in the fourth quarter with the dunk over basically the whole team to seal the victory. Cole Anthony with 14 points in the fourth quarter in that game. Then we've got
the mayor
of
Minnesota.
The mayor of Minnesota, exactly.
Minneapolis,
yeah. Yes, correct. The win over Utah at home, RJ Hampton hitting the dagger late in that game. Then another win in Madison Square Garden over the Knicks. The Magic own MSG. Bing bong, undefeated in MSG this season. The low light, the 35-point loss to the Bulls on Black Friday. That was Vucevic's return to the Amway. I was courtside for that game. It was not fun whatsoever. That was actually the 20th game of the season, but that was not fun. Through 20 games in this season, Luke, the Magic were 27th in offensive rating. They scored 101.3 points per 100 possessions and 29th in defensive rating, giving up 112.3 points per 100 possessions. The first quarter of the season, Luke, the first quarter MVP was Cole Anthony, who averaged 19.6 points per game, 6.8 rebounds, 5.9 assists, shot 41% from the floor and 36% from the three-point line. Yeah. Thoughts on the first quarter of the season? Anything that I didn't mention or anything that really stuck out to you? What was like your favorite or least favorite part of the first quarter of the season?
So my favorite part was just the emergence of Cole Anthony, right? We would soon come to find out that that's just maybe not realistic of who he is going to be as a player. I hope it is, but I just don't know that it's there, right? But that was the first kind of the twinkle in our eyes about Cole Anthony. It began to grow. That part of the season was a lot of fun to me, despite only four wins. All of those wins were fun. When you suck, every win matters, but it was like those wins were just notable. Like that, those were some really just genuinely fun games to watch and see the team win and grow through. Franz, that highlight, I mean, I think you hit on everything, but just as a whole, getting to kind of see how this team would gel. And you could see, even though the team went 4-16, chemistry was being built. Trust was being built, and you could just see that the talent for this team is really through the roof. They just got to put it together, and this is when the first part of that where we really started to take notice of that.
It's really funny, like kind of just I remember like my emotions at the beginning of the season. So after the trade deadline last year, you know, we're all sad about some of the guys that left, and then you're excited about the new guys, and then, oh, we've got two picks coming up in the draft, and, you know, the lottery didn't go the way that we wanted it to, but then the draft kind of did go the way that we wanted it to. We got Suggs, we got Wagner, we weren't really sure about Wagner. You have Summer League, and, you know, Jalen looks pretty good. Cole and RJ looked really bad in Summer League. Franz kind of looked meh. We thought Giannis Tima was going to make the roster. And then the start of the season, like you just kind of forget all about the bad things. And even though we had expectations that this was going to be a 20 to, you know, 25 win team, you end up with 22 wins. But it's like the beginning of the season, like you're hopeful, you're excited, you're just happy that basketball is back. And like the first 20 games, I think that was still in full effect. You're like, we're 4-16, but this team is really, really fun. You know, Cole's great. And then we go into quarter two, which is where things start to get a little bit more rough, if you will. And we'll get into some of those details
that
now.
Schedule.
Yeah, the schedule was just a bear.
Awful.
So quarter two, and again, we're breaking down the next 21 games here. So the Magic go 3-18 in those 21 games, with wins over Denver at home. It's good to win in AG's return. A win over the Nets in Brooklyn, a win over the Hawks in Atlanta. Those were back-to-back. However, that was really when COVID really started to just run rampant around the league. It was not the Brooklyn Nets that you're thinking. It was not the Hawks that you're thinking. It wasn't even the Magic that you're thinking of. We also had an overtime loss in Boston to the Celtics. That was when Jaylen Brown dropped 50. We also had a Franz 38-point game over the Milwaukee Bucks, which before today, when Jalen Green went off for, I think it was 41 for the Rockets, Franz's 38 points against the Bucks in this second quarter of the season was the highest score total by a rookie all season. So that held up for, you know, 4 or 5 months or so. The games during this stretch, again, when, you know, COVID is running rampant across the team, we had games featuring guys like B.J. Johnson, Asani Gravett, Tim Frazier. I forgot Tim Frazier played for the Magic this season. Michael Mulder, Aleem Ford, and Freddie Gillespie. Freddie Gillespie, who I actually did like a lot. But yeah, those were some of the guys that we saw playing heavy minutes in some of these games in November and in December and into January, Luke. During the second quarter of the season, the Magic were 28th in offensive rating at 104.4 and 21st in defensive rating at 112.3. So the Magic's offense was horrible all year, and you'll hear that in each one of these kind of quarters that we cover. But the Magic, you know, they go from 29th in defensive rating in the first quarter of the season to the second quarter of the season, 21st in defensive rating. So you saw a little bit of an improvement there. The MVP of the second quarter of the season was Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
You know, December Rookie of the Month in the Eastern Conference, averaged 18.5 points per game in this stretch, 5.2 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 46% from the floor, 36% from 3, Luke. Thoughts on Q2?
You just saw, really, like, this was the true emergence of Franz Wagner in that second quarter. That's what that part of the season was. It was a miserable part of the season looking back on it, man. What was the record?
3-18.
Yeah. So one less win than the first quarter of the season, but truly just way more miserable, despite being only just one less win. Seeing all those guys take the court, there's no shade being thrown at those guys at all who did get rostered by the Magic, but it just shows how crazy that was with injuries, with COVID. I'm so glad that that's over, that part of the season's over. I hope we never see it again. And I hope we never see a quarter two like that again.
I certainly hope so. I mean, I think it was like that really bad, you know, kind of wave in, you know, December and like into the beginning of January. And like since then, it's like almost nobody. I think we had one maybe a few weeks ago, but at this point, it seems like we are mostly over that, but it's hard not to just look back at that point of the season. Really, across the league, so many teams, like, you know, the Chicago Bulls, I know, were hit really bad by COVID. You know, it's going to be difficult to look back on the season and not kind of remember, you know, the first couple of months when, you know, guys were just missing with COVID all the time. And crazy enough, I think Franz is like the only guy on the team. He's playing so well during that stretch. He's like the only guy that we didn't see go out with COVID during that stretch. I mean, he finishes the season playing, what, you know, 78, 79 games. Probably could have played 82 games if circumstances were different for the Magic. But to me, the emergence of Franz Wagner was like, okay, we were wondering, could this guy be like a number one option eventually? Can this guy handle the ball a little bit and, you know, be that point forward? And he emphatically answered all of those questions, 100% yes. Like, now, later on in the season, we kind of started to see the usage drop a little bit for Franz, but especially, you know, December was so much fun, really just because of Franz Wagner. All right, quarter three, Luke. So this is another 20-game section here. The Magic goes 7-13, so you start to win some more games here. You have wins over the Bulls at home, which was that blowout. You might also remember Jalen Suggs, you know, getting into a little bit of a banter with some Bulls fans, and, you know, Magic City. This is a Magic City, you know, making a dunk and then, you know, showing, you know, magic across his chest. You might remember that. Wins over the Pistons and Rockets during this time, which, you know, became really interesting in terms of lottery odds and lottery implications towards the end of the season. This also included the 28-point first half for Mo Bamba against Philadelphia. That game, Joel Embiid drops 50. The Magic end up losing that game anyway. And in this quarter of the season, Luke, the Magic were 29th in offensive rating with 106.1 points per 100 possessions. And up 21st in defensive rating, they were up to 17th in defensive rating this stretch at 112.3 points allowed per 100 possessions.
Now, when you say they were at 17th, do you mean up until that point in the year, or
no,
in the third
quarter,
they had
that quarter of the season.
They had the 17th. They were 17th. Okay, gotcha. Continue. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now,
wanted to clarify.
I don't think that you caught this, and I had to go back and double check myself on this because I was like, there's no way that this is possible. Did you notice quarter one of the season, quarter two of the season, quarter three of the season, each of the first three quarters of the season, if you just look, you know, kind of, you know, under the microscope there, the Magic had a 112.3 defensive rating each one of the first three quarters of the season.
Wow.
Very interesting. Doesn't mean anything. I don't think it's anything. But when I saw that, I was like, that can't be right. Sure enough, I went back and double checked. And each of the first three quarters of the season, the Magic were at 112.3 defensive rating. Just kind of funny little quirk on the season there.
Yeah, did you name a MVP?
I did. It was Dell. I mean,
yeah,
Wendell Carter Jr. This was like really when he started to make his stamp as probably, you know, the best, most consistent player that we had all season. During this stretch, Luke, 16.9 points per game, 10.1 rebounds, 2.7 assists, shooting 56.5% from the floor. Incredibly efficient from Wendell. And this is where it just kind of started to pick up steam. That Wendell was just our best, most consistent player night in and night out.
That's a bad man. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad man. After the game tonight, obviously he did not take part, but in the post game, I'm assuming maybe in the locker room, I don't know where it took place for him, but he said, "We're going to be lit," when referring to next year. Man, first of all, I'm happy for Dell. I'm happy for what that third quarter of the season meant for him, meant really solidified in a lot of our minds. This is the guy we want at our center position. This is the guy that we want to throw out on the court to anchor a defense. I think he can do it. He didn't average one block a game this year, but I don't think it matters. He plays such good on ball defense for a guy his size that I am fully okay with that. He's a guy that is going to do the right thing, make the right play. You're never gonna blame him for not hustling. He's, you know, he got the goggles look going this year. So this third quarter for me just reminds me all about Dell and when people really started to fall in love with him as a player.
Well, the other thing about Dell, you know, in terms of the glasses, is that he's talked about, you know, potentially bringing back like the Horace Grant goggles, you know, for next season, which I know a lot of Magic fans would enjoy and welcome. But Luke, if you're that happy about Dell being the third quarter MVP, you're gonna love to hear about the fourth quarter of this season. So the last 21 games, first of all, Markel came back, which
right.
I found
I
very
was there for the return.
Very, very hilarious. Literally, if you break the season down into quarters the way that I did, the very first game of the fourth quarter of the season, Markel came back. Coincidence? Yeah. I'll let you guys decide that for yourselves, but I found that very interesting. So over the last 21 games, the Magic went 8-13. Luke, they won two games twice in a row. It featured wins over Toronto, over Minnesota, over Oklahoma City, over Golden State, and Miami, the final game of the season, which we witnessed tonight. But we also saw Kyrie's 60-point game on the Magic, as the Nets beat the Magic, I think it was like almost by 40. And then the very next game, we saw Sadiq Bey
drop
51 on the Magic.
Stupid.
So those are kind of like the low parts of the season. And then coming into tonight, I don't have the updated stats from the Miami game. I would guess it's not too much different. But in this last quarter of the season, the Magic were 29th in offensive rating with a 104, and they were 6th in defensive rating, 111.5. Actually, that 6th is updated. So the last quarter of the season, the Magic were 6th in defensive rating over the last 21 games. Very impressive for the Magic. And then the MVP of the fourth quarter of the season, Wendell, 19.2 points per game, 11.6 rebounds, 3 assists, 57.1% from the floor, 35% from the three-point line. As good as he was in the third quarter of the season, Luke, he was even that much better in the fourth quarter of the season. Missed some time over the last couple of weeks, you know, kind of getting to the end of the season, but was really just incredible and took his game up to another level. I mentioned a couple of times this season that I felt like Wendell had another level to get to, and this is what I meant. 19 points per game, 11 rebounds, 57%
from the
floor. Give me a couple of minutes and I can find that. I'm not exactly sure right now.
While you do that, I want to add, Jonathan, this is Wendell Carter Jr. was the MVP for half the season, right? You break it down by quarter. Half the season, he was the MVP. In 2024, Jonathan, not next season, but the next, he will be making $11.95 million for the Magic. 2025-26, he'll be making less than that on a declining contract, $10.85 million. If that's not a steal, I don't know what it is. If Dell can stay healthy, like I think he can.
10 games, probably like a little bit better of a bigger sample size, but still. Right. That's the level.
He still did
it.
And you could argue Markel's a fourth quarter MVP, absolutely, in terms of the impact, games played, all those things. You could argue it's Markel. But I'll take an excuse to talk about WCJ as well. Just the mere fact of his contract, that extension that happened, is absurd. It looks more ridiculous by the day. I almost feel bad for the guy. I hope that he puts up incredible numbers, leads the team to a lot of success, so that when he's an unrestricted free agent in 2026, the Magic can throw him a little bit of a bag and say, hey, we want to keep you here. We'd love to do that. And they give him something just absurd to make up for the fact that he's only going to be making, you know, 13 mil, 11 and 10.
I don't think that is outlandish at all. We saw the Magic do that with Nikola Vucevic. After his rookie deal, I think he signed like, you know, 4 year, like $14 million a year, something like that, similar to Dell, you know, has the all-star season and then, you know, gets the $100 million contract in the, you know, 2019-2020 offseason. So,
and the crazy thing is when at the end of that year, that 25-26 year, he will at that point he will be 26 years old. He's got another good 4-5 years left in him at that point.
Easy.
You throw that man in the bag. If this trajectory continues, and I hope it does, because I love this man, as I've said, I hope that he gets rewarded with the huge contract, because that's going to feel criminal if he's averaging like 17 and 11, making $10 million a year.
I would agree. Well, you mentioned Markel. I do have Markel stats in front of me as well. So in 18 games that Markel played of the last 21 for the Magic, averaged 10.9 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 47% from the floor, 28% from the three-point line in 19.4 minutes per game. I don't think it's a huge coincidence that the Magic made a huge leap defensively once Markel came back. Luke, this season, the Magic had as much as a 10-game losing streak spanning December and January. They never won more than two games in a row. They did that four times. And this season, they lost by an average of 8.2 points per game.
Yeah. What a season. A lot of storylines in there, Jonathan, but I don't know if you could pay me to relive it.
You could pay me to relive it. I mean, we survived. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, we survived, but I don't want, like... You have to pay me a good amount through like this whole year again.
Oh yeah.
And know, you know, and do all those things. I mean, I'm relieved. I know you're relieved that this season is over, come to an end. We can reflect on the good things, but there was a lot of bad. There was a lot of downs in this year.
When you look back on this season, and it may be difficult to answer this question right now, because we probably won't really know the repercussions or kind of the direction that this team was heading in for quite some time. When in the future, what do you think you'll look back on and think of this season?
This season, I think what Markel has done in the fourth quarter of the season, it could be easy to say Markel, right? Like Markel came back and he looked great. I think what he does next year will totally eclipse this. I don't think that we will really remember this as much in terms of Markel. I think we're going to remember Franz having an incredible rookie year, and we're going to remember Wendell Carter Jr. and just the extension to kick off everything and his play throughout the year. I think that those are two of the things individually that I'll look back on with this year fondly, but also I don't think this team is nearly as bad as the record indicates. I don't think fully healthy that this team is in a top three lottery situation. I think that this team is much better than the record indicates. And unfortunately, in the record books and those stats, the year-by-year stats, records, and everything online, everyone's going to remember this as a terrible year for the Orlando Magic. And like I said, there were so many downs. But I also remember that this team is not nearly as bad as people will think at first glance.
So for me, I'm right there with you. I'm obviously going to remember Franz's rookie year, incredible rookie year. Obviously going to remember Wendell Carter, like, really coming onto the scene and proving that, you know, as talented and as touted as he was coming out of Duke, that, you know, the people that thought he was going to be this good, you know, this was kind of when he started to prove them right. I'm also going to look back on this as like Jamal Mosley's first year as a head coach. He's going to be a head coach in this league, I think, for a long, long time. Whether that's with the Magic, I really don't know. But just something that we didn't really mention about the Hornets game is when that whole kerfuffle started, he basically huddles everybody up after the fact. And, you know, I don't know what was said, but, you know, they're laughing and their spirits are still high. When you're a 20-win team, you got two games left to go in the season. Your guys are still fighting like that. They're still bought in and they're able to laugh in the middle of a season like that that's almost over. They've got their vacation plans ready to go. They're in the middle of a blowout on the road. It would be really easy for a team like that to kind of, you know, lower their heads and get super down on themselves. But, Luke, this team just never broke. This team was bad all season. We're not hiding that. But I can't say enough how impressed that I was all season long that the Magic never, ever, ever let go of the rope. The Magic were bad.
Bend not break, baby. Bend, don't break.
And they bent pretty far.
they bent were bent to their limits, far. For sure. And, yeah, we thought they were going to snap several times.
Literally. And they just never let go of the rope. And I think it's obviously a testament to the character of each of the guys that, you know, John and Jeff have put in the locker room. But I keep going back to this. This season is probably so much less fun with another head coach. And this might not be fair to the gentleman that I'm about to mention, but it's really the most recent reference that we have. This season would have been, in my opinion, so much more miserable with Steve Clifford as the head coach.
Yes, but thank goodness that Steve Clifford realized that.
Yes, because I commend him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that he could have stayed. Like, I think that they would. What are you going to tell him? Like, this guy is a guy that took a team that hadn't made the playoffs in years to two straight playoffs. Right? Am I right on that? Two straight, right?
Well, two straight, and then, you know, they decide to blow the whole team up in the third year.
Yeah, that whole thing.
I mean, if it's
so
not for
they
health,
had every reason.
They make the playoffs every
reason for Cliff to stay. Hats off to Cliff for understanding and being real with himself and being like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to work with a rebuilding team. You guys bring in a player's coach. Have yourselves a ball. I'm out.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Cliff, because this season is miserable with him as the head coach. Call it what it is. But this season's miserable with him as a head coach. I think he gets frustrated a lot more.
Fair.
I think.
Let's be fair. The season was miserable in general.
Well, I think that you would have seen him being visually miserable. You saw the patented, like, Mosley, like, rubbing the back of his head at times on the bench and, you know, just really going through it. But
what do you think
the
over-under would have been on press conferences where Clifford comes in, speaks for a minute and a half, and then just walks out with no questions?
Oh, there's so that over-under.
I would say
that's
upwards of 40. Upwards. That's probably an exaggeration, but. And
no,
I
absolutely.
Think the morale
but,
of the players would have been much lower.
Yes.
And I'm
because
let's stop this from being like a crap on Steve Clifford. Like I'm trying to shed light on just how good of a job Jamal Mosley did this year. And he proved to be, if anything else, a leader of men this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think from a morale standpoint, Mosley did the best job he could have done. X's and O's, different story, obviously. He got better.
Yeah.
As the year went on, as it should have, because he's a first-year head coach. But definitely critiques, and we will get into that as the season, you know, as the offseason begins here. But overall, hats off to Mosley for keeping this team together. I think that's not easy to do. These are a lot of guys that not too long ago were the best guy at their college, best players in their high schools. These are guys with egos, right? Like, these are young, competitive guys They want to win basketball games more than anything else in the world. They're not vets that have been doing it forever, aside from like Rollo and T. Ross. So I think that, you know, hats off to the to the coaching staff, to the guys on this team to really keep it together. I think they showed a lot of maturity, a lot more than I really truly thought that someone, you know, kids their age should have.
Yeah. I mean, credit to Mosley, credit to the guys, like the chemistry and the culture that they've built all year round. It was evident night in and night out. You know, thank you to them, because in a season that wasn't obviously filled with a ton of winning, they most nights, you know, you weren't completely embarrassed to watch the team. Now, were there maybe, I don't know, 8 to 10 of those games this season where you just got creamed and you're like, oh my gosh, this team is horrible? Yes. Right. Were they frustrating to watch as a young group trying to, you know, figure and find their way in the NBA and learn how to win? Absolutely. But how many times did we were like, oh, this game is going to be a blowout? And then all of a sudden we look up and with a few minutes to go, it's a, you know, 7 or 8 point game and they have a puncher's chance of winning the game. And that's a huge testament to the guys on the roster. It's a huge testament to Mosley.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something that's developed while we've been recording, Jonathan.
Oh boy.
In terms of Magic news. Okay. Are we done with like with that?
Yeah, but I'm terrified to hear what you're gonna say.
Mo Bamba. On the uncertainty of the offseason and potentially entering restricted free agency, quote, I want to be a part of it, the Magic's future, in parentheses. I want to be here. I want to make that clear. I'll let that stuff handle itself and continue to work regardless.
I mean, what, you can't ask for a better answer than that. He wants to be here. We know that. We talked for 5 minutes, I think, about that on you know, the last episode.
And you would think that you know, he'd want to be here, but that tells me that if Mo is going to accept a role that involves the bench, then I think that's what's going to have to happen for him.
100%. I don't see how he can be your starting power forward next year.
No. No, I don't think so, unless for whatever reason, like, J.I. is not ready to go and they do that. But if J.I. is not ready to go...
I mean, it was a fun experiment. If J.I. is not ready to go and we don't have Chet or Jabari or Paolo or even a Keegan Murray...
Right.
Like, it's Chuma, right? Like, I know this is a new development. We're going to get more into this probably on another episode, right. But... to me, you know, it was a fun experiment. You know, you helped get Mo's, you know, confidence up this season, but the focus to me, and let's close with this, the focus for next year, to me, regardless of how this lottery ends up, the goal next year should be to win basketball games.
Yeah, not developing guys, not throwing out lineups like Mo's did throughout the year. You know, experimenting, right? Like, there were so many times where it was very, very evident that Mosley was not looking to win that game. He was just looking to try out another lineup.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous lineups, the ones you didn't even think were you could put on a basketball court. Mosley put them out there. So, yeah, I think next year everything changes. Everything shifts. You started building that culture this year, and you have to really capitalize on the culture you've built. You got to win basketball games next year. Absolutely, that's what next year holds.
Last thing I'll say is I want Mo Bamba to be our backup center next year. That's me. I might be in the minority of that, but...
I don't know.
You could do much worse, in my opinion.
You could do... Yep, you could do worse, you could do better, but yeah, we'll discuss it for sure. But that was the one thing I didn't want to not mention that, because I'm sure people will have that as well in their minds as they go into tomorrow.
No, for sure. Good job. All right, so guys, yeah, it's going to be a fun offseason. We're working on, you know, putting together some lists of guests that we want to bring on the show, you know, some fan favorites that have been on the show in the past, you know, some folks, you know, with the organization and whatnot that haven't been on the show yet that we're hoping to get, you know. If there's somebody that you guys would really like to hear, you know, on the show, please let us know. Please just understand it's really hard for us to get Tracy McGrady, like Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway. So, like, just keep that in mind when you let us know who you want to be on the show. But next episode, I think we're going to start to get into some player grades, but obviously as we get closer to the lottery, and probably after the lottery is where we'll get super heavy into prospects. We'll bring, you know, Eric Fawcett, you know, back on the show. I know everybody, you know, loves when we have him on. So yeah, guys, just rock with us. And I said this kind of in like signing off the last post game video after the game tonight is like the casuals, we know we'll see you guys in October, but those of you who are, you know, going to be listening to us like all off season, you know, we know you guys will be here. So we really, really appreciate that. Luke, anything else?
No, thank you guys.
Yeah, just thank you guys for, it's been a rough season, but it's still been an awesome season, you know, for the show and everything like that. So again, we just can't tell you guys enough how much we appreciate it. But for the final show of the regular season, we're going to go ahead and sign off here. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic.